Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Before we jump into today's adventure, can we ask you a tiny favor? If you're enjoying Constant Wonder Kids, ask a grown-up to leave us a 5-star rating or a kind review wherever they listen to podcasts. Your reviews can help more curious kids discover the show and join us on our next adventure. Thanks for being a part of the Constant Wonder Kids family. Have you ever heard of the term flow state? Flow state is what happens when you're so focused on something fun that you almost forget about everything else around you. For instance, have you ever been building with Lego, drawing a picture, reading a book, or playing a game, and then suddenly realized an hour had gone by? That's flow. In these moments, you're paying close attention to what you're doing. You're not worrying about other things, and you feel proud of what you're up to. Today's guest thinks a lot about the flow state and how it applies to his two great passions, surfing and conservation work.
It's complete concentration when you're getting it right and you're in the flow. Things feel easy, unencumbered, when your body and mind feel aligned to the task that you've got. When everything comes together in the sort of surfing example, you have to be really concentrated on that moment. You really have to be focused. And when it's all right and you pop up and your feet are in the right place and you move the board into the right place on the wave and that sort of suspension of time happens and you're totally in that moment. And I think that is a really enriching and nourishing experience.
This is Hugo Tagholm. He's the executive director of Oceana UK, part of an international organization dedicated to ocean conservation. He's also a passionate surfer, and for Hugo, there's nothing that puts him into more of a flow state than riding the waves and working to save the ocean. Hugo has had an appreciation for wildlife since he was a young boy.
So I always thought I was going to be a vet or a naturalist or something. My heroes were naturalists. David Attenborough was on the TV at a time when we'd all sit around as a family and watch Life on Earth or those early documentaries in the sort of 80s. He was a hero. Other scientists and explorers were heroes. I have always been passionate about nature and the sort of wild world around us. As a kid, I endlessly collected things, you know, whether it was on the beach or in the woods or anywhere, broken birds, eggs, shells, you know, shells on the beach, rocks, snake skins, whatever I found, I was fascinated by, and I sort of documented and collected all of that. Had a whole collection in my room of sort of wild and wonderful things that felt like a mini museum, really, many times.
Hugo fell in love with the ocean specifically when he was spending time in southern France, right near the sea.
I fell in love with France and it took me on a massive right-hand turn. I was suddenly like, I'm so into surfing and the beach and the ocean, and I was just immersed in it.
As he became more involved in the world of surfing, Hugo began to notice some of the challenges facing the ocean.
The water industry was not in a great shape. There was a lot of sewage pollution going out into the ocean.
Gross! Hugo and other surfers and swimmers didn't want to run into human waste, or poop, while surfing the waves. Plus, he knew how bad this type of pollution could be for local wildlife. So Hugo got involved with an organization called Surfers Against Sewage, or SAS, and began working on projects to raise awareness and inspire the public to hold companies accountable for their role in the pollution problem.
SAS was sort of well renowned for their sort of campaign stunts and activities to draw attention to this. I mean, you know, people with inflatable turds down on the beach, gas masks and surfboards being waved around to draw attention to the change that needed to happen.
One way that Hugo drew attention to the problem was by doing a photo campaign where he exaggerated the amount of waste pollution in the sea. For this project, he had to drag a friend into a pretty nasty photo shoot.
It was a friend of mine who is a very good surfer, like one of the sort of best surfers around, a guy who can ride any size wave, any craft on those waves, and a very nice human being. And I said, come along and do this shoot for SAS, please. And we did the shoot with an agency that donated all of their time, all of their creative skills, all of their cameras, all of the equipment, everything to do it. We went up and we got there, and then he realized it wasn't going to be a shoot where he was going to be in some sort of cool clothes.
This photo shoot wasn't about showing how cool surfing was. It was about how disgusting pollution could be. Hugo's friend was covered in goop made out of wallpaper paste and brown food coloring that looked a lot like poop or sewage.
The two makeup artists were covering him in the sewage and applying fake turds and everything to him and toilet paper. And I was stood behind the cameraman as they were taking this straight down the lens shot of him in the suit. In front of the sea with the surfboard, and you can only see his eye. I love that shot because it was the challenger shot. It was leading with that campaign, putting our money where our mouth was, putting our reputations on the line to say there is an issue. We know there's an issue from these tens of thousands of sewage pipes that are discharging into our rivers and onto our coastline.
The picture of the surfer covered in sewage was successful, and soon there were lots of people who felt concerned about putting an end to the water pollution.
We built a network of hundreds of thousands of people who believed in that movement and wanted to see change, whether they were surfers or swimmers, whether they were dog walkers or beach goers and holidaymakers. Everyone felt outraged by the wrongdoings of the privatized water industry. Lots of people want to come on board, and that's when you know you've succeeded, because that's when all of the tide is lifting all of the boats, that it's become democratized, and suddenly the issue is not an organization's, it's everyone's. And I really love that moment.
With Surfers Against Sewage, Hugo reached a flow state of advocating for the environment and enjoying the ocean he loved. He continued in this flow state when he started to work more in an area called Cornwall, an ocean county in southwest England.
I've been coming to Cornwall since I was a small boy, but I'm a Londoner born and bred that now lives in Cornwall. I've lived here for the best part of 20 years. I've raised my son down here with my wife Sarah, our son Darwin, and it's a great place to be. It's a pretty sort of harsh environment in the wintertime, particularly the weather, the wind, the rain. And often people come down, they have a great summer holiday here, and they feel they want to move, and they come down. And actually, it's harder than they think. And it either chews you up and spits you out, or you get really embedded and you learn to really adapt around. And it's a brilliant place to live. And the waves are better in winter anyway.
It's in Cornwall that Hugo helps to run his current ocean advocacy organization, Oceana UK. In a place like Cornwall, Hugo is able to be up close and personal with the ocean he's fighting to help.
We wanted an office that overlooks the sea, very connected to communities we work in. We're down in the southwest of England in Cornwall. There's beautiful marine life here. We've had humpback whales swimming in front of the office over the last winter, lots of seals, many seabirds. I got out of the water just down here on Monday morning, and there were flocks of oyster catchers everywhere. It keeps me grounded and lets me sort of access this amazing aquatic world.
One thing that Hugo loves about surfing and conservation work is the way you get to spend time with the natural world. He's encountered plenty of wild creatures as he's floated out on the ocean, waiting for the perfect wave.
You're surrounded by different animals. Dolphins, of course, are an amazing animal to surf around. We've got lots of dolphins in Cornwall, and I've had the good fortune to be out when pods of dolphins, you know, swim by pretty close. Basking sharks, you know, one of the only sharks we see with sort of regularity in Cornwall. Of course, toothless, it's a filter feeder, a plankton feeder. But I've literally surfed with a basking shark swimming under me sort of in the wave, which is, you know, an incredible experience. One of the really memorable moments was at this spot that I love the most, Perranporth. Really good day of waves. People started chattering in the lineup. There's a shark, a basking shark. It was not a huge one, but still big. Cruising past, probably 2.5 meters. And I turned to get the wave, and it swam sort of under me and sort of through the wave. So like an amazing experience. And that stuff sort of happens, I think, regularly to people here. And we get very used to seals popping up everywhere and to just the wild world being around us. It's not as rich and abundant as in some places. You know, I spend time in California where big wildlife is so regularly seen. You know, the migration of grey whales, flocks of pelicans swooping over the lineups in Trestles or Dana Point or any of these places. But for me, this is home, and this is where I get my greatest experience. So I could go anywhere else in the world and have a bigger experience, but this is where I feel most nourished from being in and around the water, because it's where I live and so close to my home.
A big threat to this ocean home near Cornwall is called bottom trawling. That's when big weighted nets, held open with metal frames, are dragged along the ocean floor to catch bottom-dwelling fish like cod and haddock. In areas that aren't well managed, the seafloor is essentially plowed under by trawling nets. Not only that, in poorly managed areas, the nets are often dumped down onto the ocean floor, disrupting the environment. Hugo and Oceania UK are working to bring attention to the issue and increase government protections. To do that, they work as a team with local fishermen.
A woman called Katrine, who works on this Sussex kelp recovery project on the south coast of England. Her father was a fisher and has turned environmentalist, and saw the damage that trawling was doing to kelp beds off the south coast and the damage that was doing then to fish populations. And with very localized trawling bans that they campaigned for, they've seen the recovery of the kelp there and the return of breeding fish populations and the return of abundance. And this is what needs to happen around the world. This isn't a conflict between environmentalists and fishers. This should be a collaboration of how we achieve those sort of forever fish, really, the fish that will keep coming back.
Even when he's facing big problems like bottom trawling, Hugo is encouraged by the way that people are able to work together when they care about a common cause. Even better than reaching flow state on your own while surfing is reaching the flow state with a community of people trying to make the world a better place.
I think I've seen multiple changes of heart in that sort of time, sort of period. My mindset and my view is global. We live on planet ocean. The ocean connects us all around the world. The ocean now is a very serious part of people's consideration as the public realizes that a healthy ocean is important, not just for the people and the fishers and the communities that live by the sea, but for everyone, whether you live in London, Paris, Moscow, Berlin, New York, wherever. A healthy ocean is fundamental to our existence. It regulates our climate, it provides the oxygen we breathe, it provides protein for millions and millions of people around the world every day. It's a source of energy. It's really important that we have a healthy ocean that acts as a generator of life and resources for the things that we depend on.
Hugo's work to protect the ocean is inspiring, and to me, his enthusiasm and love for the sea and its creatures is contagious. So what puts you into a flow state? And how can that help you have a positive impact on the world? Like Hugo, when we care about the earth around us and team up with others, we can make a real difference, one small action at a time.
Just one more quick word, and this is for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material you hear on Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of stories and information kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to surfing and the wonder of waves. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called How to Find a Flow State on the Waves and in Life. And we're confident you'll love more from the ongoing Constant Wonder podcast, which puts you on a quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.